Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
Well, before I start this week's podcast, I just want to thank all of my listeners, many of them who are new, picked up a lot of listeners lately, who have suggested that I go out and get a new microphone, which I did. And so I hope this does sound better. I had my IT guy set it all up for me. So before we get into the meat and potatoes of the podcast, I just want to say that today's podcast is going to be pretty much a 36,000 foot level view of what's going on in the market. A lot of new people here haven't heard what I've been saying for, over a year and a half now about warning about what this 2022 would actually be. And actually, I've been warning for a lot longer. Eventually, this year would come. And we've been unfortunately haven't been able to make money this year. We're only down, I think, about 3% or so. But that's because the bonds haven't yet kicked in. The bonds will kick in, and I'm very confident we'll be making money before the end of this bear market is over. That's my belief. But the bottom line is, instead of being down 30% like most people, or down 90% like Kathy Wood, or blown up completely like those who own cryptocurrencies, I mean, being down a small single-digit percentage points in your account, 4%, 3%, 4%, 5%, depending on the fees that you're charged, that is not something that I'm happy with, I'm not satisfied with, but I'm very proud of the position it's left us in, because we have our purchasing power, our major cash hoard to invest in defense stocks, dividend stocks, gold, whenever the model tells me that it's going to be time to do that. And I think the way it looks like right now, towards the end of Q1, beginning of Q2, somewhere around that time frame, I think is going to be a wonderful time for us to invest. Because I think the grand reconciliation of asset prices will have consummated. It'll be over. And we'll be able to invest when the market's down 30, 50%, whatever percent down from here it is. We'll be able to buy good quality, high-yielding dividend stocks, the right sectors to invest in. Maybe it'll be sector four of my five-sector inflation, deflation, and economic cycle spectrum. That's where we make the most money, and we can invest with more confidence at that time, because the great excesses will be wrung out of the stock market. But let's talk about right now, the recession inertia is now unstoppable, and the liquidity cycle is tightening further. Now, Wall Street wanted and needed and supplicated. They were sycophants for Powell to pivot, and he did pivot in this last meeting, but he didn't pivot to be dove, he pivoted to be more hawkish. We have the fastest rate hikes in history, from 0 to 5%, or that's where we'll be, around 5% in March of this year. We were at 0, March of 23 will be around 5%, give or take 25 basis points on either side. And we have the fastest hiking of the Fed funds rate ever in history, and it's combined with the greatest amount of quantitative tightening ever, and it's happening into a recession. Do you want to buy stocks in that environment? Be my guest. It's not happening here. So what's the fair value for the stock market? Well, the S&P 500 should be at least 30% lower from here, just to have its total market cap of equities as a percentage of GDP to equal 100%, which is still a very rich number, but I'm willing to cede that. We could probably have 100% total market cap of equities to GDP, and that would probably be a good time to start getting a little longer in the stock market, and I think that happens again in the next, say, 4 or 5 months. But the market is still very much overvalued. We have the highest price-to-sales ratio in history, after 2020, and the highest total market cap of GDP, other than what happened after 2020. What was evident after 2020, after the pandemic, and we had the $6 trillion of fiscal and monetary support. So that means the stock market is still, after all of this pain, extremely, extremely overvalued. And stocks don't bottom when equities valuations drop to 150% of the economy. They bottom at 71%, like they did in 2000 recession. They bottom at 45%, like they did in the Great Recession. So we have a long, long way to go until this thing shakes out. So here's the evidence. Let me give you a few bullet points for the evidence of the recession that we have going right now. You know, Amazon, which is the nation's largest online retailer, they warned of the worst quarter, fourth quarter, Christmas season, holiday season, the worst growth in the company's history. Does that happen? Think about since the history of Amazon, this is going to be the worst quarter in the history of the company, first worst growth rate, for worst fourth quarter. That covers a lot of ground. It says a lot. The housing market is in a depression. Depression. It's worse than it was in 2008. The setup is worse. Okay. Mortgage applications are down 41% year over year. We've lost $1.5 trillion of homeowners' equity since May. Existing home sales are down 24%. I mean, these are great recession numbers, and even worse. Home builders are missing revenue and earnings and refusing to give guidance. 37% of small businesses cannot pay their rent. We have the most inverted yield curve in the past 40 years. The non-farm payroll report showed that in the household survey, 300,000 jobs were lost. Home price to income ratio was higher prior to 2022, much greater than it was in any other previous time in history, even much higher than the 7.03 reached in November of 2005. It hit 7.78 in this past summer. Powell, those looking still begging for a pivot are going to be surprised of how hard and hawkish Powell, how he's become a hard money guy, at least in the short term. I mean, we could get surprised tomorrow with a very dovish CPI print, but I mean, my figures show high sevens to low eights on the headline CPI. That's not two. It's nowhere near two. You're not going to get the Fed to derail their hawkish monetary policy stance just because of disinflation or a second derivative drop in CPI. But Powell's looking at lagging and skewed data for his decision. So there's not going to be the layoffs that we usually have in a recession because we just didn't hire any people since the pandemic. We have 158 million people prior to the pandemic. We've got 158 million people employed in this country after the pandemic today. So there's just not a big buildup of people to fire. For instance, we had 6 million people that needed to be fired after the Great Recession started because 6 million people were hired in the 3 years leading up to the Great Recession. Well, in the 3 years, 2020, 2021, 2022, leading up to this recession, we didn't hire anybody. And also, credit spreads are very quiescent because Treasury yields are rising along with junk bond yields. So the spread is not there. So if he's looking for problems in the credit market, if he's looking for problems in the non-farm payroll numbers and the employment data, he's just not going to get them. Very quiescent there. So even the ISM, so look for tomorrow. This is a hint about tomorrow. ISM services prices paid actually increased in October from 68 to 70. So the biggest part of the economy is the services sector part of the economy. It's much larger than the manufacturing part of the economy. Manufacturing is like 12, 14% of the economy. And most of the economy is services. And prices paid in the ISM showed that prices were increasing in the services sector. So you have that and stubbornly high home prices and owner's equivalent rent and energy prices, and that gives you a clue as to where I think CPI could be tomorrow. But if I'm wrong, I'll react to it. But I don't think I will be. So earnings per share is, Wall Street is still very bullish. Earnings per share is still projected to rise 8% in 2023. Average recession, it's down 30%. So we have a long way to go on the downside as far as Wall Street, confessions earnings confessions are concerned. And I will leave you with these two thoughts. Number one, have you ever noticed how, you know, the Wall Street buy the dip crowd is very robust, very vocal and boisterous up until now, kind of daring too, kind of cocky. Oh, buy the dip. You know, we're not going to have a steep recession. Earnings are going to be great. We can avoid any kind of downfall in the economy or the markets further downfall in the markets or in the economy because there's no leverage in the system and blah, blah, blah. Why do you think they have that bravado? Well, I have a theory. You know, the Fed's balance sheet is $100 billion higher today than it was 1 year ago. Think about it. I mean, the Fed's balance sheet was $4.5 trillion prior to the pandemic, and then it rose to $9 trillion. But for all the talk about QT and fighting inflation and having a very hawkish monetary policy stance and removing money supply from the system, we're still, after all the work that we've done, we're still $100 billion higher than we were a year ago. There's a lot of gambling money flowing and floating and flushing and swirling around Wall Street. That's why, you know, every little narrative, like the last one, which was, don't you know gridlock is great for DC and seasonality is wonderful and there's hardly ever been a midterm election that didn't have stocks soar. Well, you know, wonderful. That's great. You know, correlation is not causation at all. So you can do that kind of analysis if you want to, but the fact is that the Fed is going to raise rates another at least 100 to 150 basis points before they plateau. They're now draining. They started in September to drain $95 billion a month out of the banking system. Those things are just getting started. I mean, we just really started tightening monetary policy. As I said before, we started in March. The Fed started in March at zero. And now they're at 375 basis points, 3.25%. That's it. That's all. So that's one thing I wanted to share with you. The other thing I wanted to share with you is that the fact is that we have never before in history had three big, humongous asset bubbles in equities, real estate, and bonds existing concurrently at the same time. We had that at the start of 2022. We had the biggest asset bubble in equities, the biggest real estate bubble, and the biggest bond bubble we've ever seen before. Now, if you want to argue and say those three bubbles existed without any leverage in the system, then go ahead, be my guest. You're wrong. And you could even extend that to Bitcoin or cryptocurrencies, a humongous bubble that is probably going to cause systemic risk. Shadow banks to fail, hedge funds to fail, pension funds to fail, private equity funds to fail. That's just cryptocurrencies. Never mind what I just mentioned about how many people are loaded with junk bonds, corporate debt that's going bad, mortgage-backed securities, and just over-leveraged hedge funds that got over their skis long the market at the beginning of this year. So we're going to have still a very steep recession. Earnings per share are going to plunge. And the stock market is going to have another humongous leg down. That is most likely what is going to happen. And it's going to be the case until we have quiescence in the CPI. And until we have a genuine pivot from Powell. He will have that pivot. It's going to be the result of a collapse in the credit markets and the money markets. That's going to bring stocks down, I think, another 30% from here. And that's going to be a wonderful time to get bullish when everyone else is panicking.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you are not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.